How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to the show. It is 7:13 here on a chilly, not very nice Tuesday. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. The good news is, after today, weather looks like it's getting better now for the rest of the work week, at least, with sunshine for tomorrow and Thursday and maybe even a little bit on Friday as well. It is 6 degrees, though, as you wake up this morning on this 26th day of October. It's also the first game of the World Series tonight. Anybody jacked for Stros, Braves for tonight? That turn anybody's crank?
Hammer's the baseball guy. What do you got, brother?
I'm the baseball guy, but it doesn't have me feeling any good feels at all.
Prefer the Red Sox? Could you could cheer against them. Can't you cheer against the Astros?
I can cheer against the Astros. I'm on the Braves bandwagon here, yeah. 150%, only because the Trashos suck. Yeah. I do not want to see them win again.
What about Alex Anthopoulos, the former general manager of the Blue Jays, now the leader of the Braves?
Of course.
The Braves go in. By the way, these two teams, of course, obviously different leagues, have not met in interleague play. I thought they alternated in terms of the division you played in the other league every year, but somehow the Braves and the Astros have not played a game against each other since 2017, 4 years.
Wow.
How does that work exactly?
Is there some COVID effects, guys, the last few years?
No, I think it has something to do with an uneven schedule as well. So sometimes you got to hop in another division and play one team. The Major League Baseball schedule is all foobard.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think the Astros.
There's no rhyme or reason.
Astros, to me, are a National League team, JR. I'm sure you feel the same way.
It's been a while now.
I know. But
I want them to go back to those jerseys they had at one point with the colorful stripes at the bottom.
That was a strong one.
I like the striped across the chest with the nice star right there.
Yeah.
The one that looked more like a T-shirt. No, that was pretty cool. The Astrodome. How famous that was back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
did they blow that up, or is that still?
Oh no, it's blown up long ago.
I think Minute Maid Park, I believe, is right across the street from the old Astrodome, which was the first dome stadium, right? The Astrodome, yeah. I believe it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, first game goes tonight in Houston. The Astros are slight favorites, although they somebody did one of these simulation things. They played a series, they played a million games.
What?
Simulated a million games between the Braves and the Astros, and the Braves won 50.5%. Of the games. Simulation.
Wow.
Simulated games. Yeah. So the Braves, by actually playing the games, but not really playing the games because they're simulating them, are seen to, if you take that.
So do we need to play the real games then now?
We want to play the real games.
Shut it down?
Or we could, listen, I'm not the huge baseball guy. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time watching the World Series unless it goes to like a sixth or seventh game. I will be actively cheering against the Astros. Yeah. I don't know when the hate for what they did is going to leave me. But it is still very strong for me right now.
Do you have some respect for them now, JR, though?
No.
Because I kind of feel like, well, this is kind of cool. If they were cheating and they won, and apparently they're not cheating, and they're back in the World Series, and they must be a pretty good team.
Yeah, aren't they cheating?
I don't know. People are whistling before pitches. I'm kind of feeling like post-Deflategate that Tom Brady couldn't play football anymore, and it appears that he's been just fine. So I kind of feel like for the Braves, hey, must have a pretty good team then if they're back in the World Series.
Braves are just the fourth team ever to reach the World Series after having a losing record at the All-Star break, and their 88 wins during the regular season were the fewest of any team to have made the playoffs.
Yeah. Jays were 91?
I think so. 91 and 71 didn't make the playoffs.
Well, the Braves are in that garbage NL East, so you can understand why. Don't be bitter.
Okay?
88 wins.
All right, so that'll go tonight. It is our Red Blacks All Day Take a Giveaway here on TSN 1200. Here's what you're going to be listening for, at least this morning.
Red Blast!
There you go. When you hear that, and we'll do it once an hour, at least this morning, can't speak for the rest of the shows, what do we want to go with today? What do we want to go with today? What number do we want to go with? What caller do you feel like? Do you feel like in the hundreds?
Let's go with Henry Burris's number.
Hundreds? Yes, let's do that.
That's not fair to our smart speaker
listeners.
Let's
see how quick people are on the draw here.
Yes, right? Unfortunately.
What's a famous player? What did Sinopoli or any of the guys?
88? Well, that's too many for Hammer.
What was that? What was Ellington?
Ellington was 82.
That's too much.
No better. Yes.
What was Gott?
60.
You remember John Gott's
63.
Number.
63.
Darn it. Okay.
Yeah.
How many Mill Street Organic did he chug that one game?
About five, probably.
All right.
What's Richie Leone?
Archie, 13.
13.
Yeah, let's go 40. Soon. Let's go 40th caller. Because this is getting us nowhere. Nothing that you like to say, let's just go 40.
Next time you hear Mike Sutherland's Red Blacks, be the 40th caller, 40 at 750-1200 or star 1200, and you will score yourself a pair of tickets. See Red Blacks and the Calgary Stampeders coming up Friday night. This is the second-to-last home game. As we mentioned, the weather looks like it's improving for later on this week, so maybe it'll be a nice night, and opportunities drawing short to see the Red Blacks. Season is quickly, it may not come soon enough for some fans, given the team's record this year at 2-9, but it is quickly drawing to its conclusion. There's a home game Friday, and then one the following Saturday, and then they got like a bye week, and then they play one final game on the road in Montreal, and then the season will be over. They've already officially been eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think you're just going for the experience here. All right, nice day. It's still fun to go, and yeah, I guess now we'll start to kind of track who the next general manager is going to be and where things are going, and for sure for Coach LaPolice and I guess all the players. I mean, the one thing about the CFL, you're always playing for next year in a sense of your job or at least a job somewhere else.
OSEG President Mark Gowdy was the man who delivered the news to Marcel Desjardins yesterday that he was being let go as the team's only general manager to that point. Mark Gowdy will lead the search for the new general manager. He joined the boys on the drive yesterday and talked about what they'll be looking for in terms of a replacement.
You know, I think we're looking for somebody who has that sort of passion. Marcel was also a very honest guy, right? And his moral compass pointed due north. And we're looking for somebody that is, you know, similar in that capacity as well. And, you know, who has the experience and the fire and the fortitude to, you know, get us to where we need to be. It's a tough position, and it's not suited for everybody. So I think looking for somebody that, you know, that hopefully we see can be here for, like Marcel did, for the next decade or so, delivering successful football here.
There is OSEG President Mark Gowdy. You can hear his interview in its entirety on our website at tsn1200.ca. Mark has said he'll spend the next month or so kind of talking to everybody within the organization about what they'll be looking for, and then the search will begin. They said, given the fact they were going to make the change, that's why they made it yesterday as opposed to waiting. The due diligence is now underway as far as who they would be looking for in terms of a replacement. You just heard him mention, he used the word the experience there, which is interesting to me. Yeah. That would suggest to me that they're looking for somebody who has been, working within the CFL. Maybe just means somebody who's involved in the CFL game. Not quite sure. Yeah. A few names mentioned yesterday, and one of them we'll have here on the show coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. Dwayne Ford, very familiar to those of you who watch the CFL on TSN, one of their color analysts for many years, former player. His name was put forward in a couple of different circles yesterday as a potential that Ottawa may look at. Dwayne Ford will join us on the show. We'll put the question to you, to him. Are you interested in being the general manager of the Red Blacks?
Yeah, and after hearing Mr. Gowdy talk, I'm thinking if Marcel has a brother, he should apply for the job himself. Obviously, their relationship was very good. When I hear an interview like that, that tells me that it was probably ownership that made the decision to make the fire. Just pure speculation on my part, JR, but would like to stay the same course. An interest in yesterday and hearing Mark mention that he likes the culture that has been built there, and that's an interesting, I think, conversation, because in talking to other former people, there are some questions as to whether or not it's healthy right now, but that looks like the path they want to continue on.
Right, and the other piece of news from yesterday that was shared is the expectation, was the word used, is that head coach Paul LaPolice and by extension his staff will return for next year. I'm assuming that if and when the general manager is hired, typically they always say at least that it will be up to them as to who, whether the coach will remain or not. This may be a slightly different situation, as mentioned. You know, budgets will determine some. This is the Canadian Football League. It's not the NFL. Paul LaPolice still has 2 years left on his contract. I think coaching staffs, I can't speak about coordinators, but the rest of the staff usually, I think, don't work much more than one-year contracts. But still, that would be, if they wanted to clean house, as it were, and start anew under a new general manager, that would be a very expensive proposition. So I think probably that's not going to happen, if I had to guess.
And Dwayne Ford, is he out of Winnipeg, JR?
I don't believe so. I think he's Ontario.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah. I thought that was always a strong tie to Winnipeg. And
could
he
be.
But and again, the CFL circles are so small. As I said yesterday and say again today, if you're Coach La Police, you're very involved in and certainly want to give yourself the best chance that, hey, if there's somebody out there you're connected with and also helping Mark Gowdy in the whole search there, that would be smart. It would be smart for all parties. If that's the tact you're going to use and go down that road, you might as well bring in a general manager that likes the coach off the hop and wants to give him a chance versus butting heads like we saw with Coach Campbell and Desjardins.
All right, Lee Versage will have another edition of the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, so that's very timely. I'm sure that will be a large topic during tonight's show between 6 and 7, the Red Blacks radio show here on TSN 1200. Again, next game coming up Friday at home to Calgary. Tickets all day today, every hour, including at some point this hour. Okay, 7:24. Let's take you back to Canadian Tire Center. Last night, a rare Monday night home game for the Sens. It looked like a rare game. Like, oh, we have games on Mondays? That's the way they played the first period because they were down 4-1 in the first period. Anton Forsberg, not that it was all on him, but he did not have a great night. He got lifted, 4 goals on 16 shots. In comes Philip Gustafson. It was a night in which the best players on the Sens were their best players. Unfortunately, there were not enough of them. And meanwhile, for the Washington Capitals, it was a whole lot of Oshie and a whole lot of Ovi.
Paul in behind the net. Back to the point, he sends it. Zaitsev with a shot that gets blocked. Here's a chance, Ovechkin busting in. Ovechkin, all alone, gets a shot away, scores! Alex Ovechkin, a breakaway goal, 5-4 Caps.
And that would be the go-ahead goal from there. The Sens would never recover. They came back from 4-1 down to tie it 4-4. But Alexander Ovechkin scores a breakaway goal, his first of two on the night, and eventually the Caps win it 7-5. Interesting note from Mike Johnson, who will join us next hour, and we'll ask him about this. He made the point, and Ovechkin, and it's hard to see on the replay whether when he made the shot block, whether it was with his stick. I don't know if you've seen it, Simmer, or with his body. I'm not quite sure. But you can see as he goes down the ice with the puck, and it's a clear breakaway. Like he's under no, like he's skating fast, but he's got nobody hounding him. It looks like, because Mike Johnson speculates that he thinks that Ovi's not sure if his stick is broken or not. And so as you watch him go down the ice, you actually, his lower hand, his right hand, at one point, he takes it up to the top of the stick and then kind of shifts it all the way down to the bottom again. And he doesn't do a typical Ovechkin thing, which is shoot the puck hard. He goes 5-hole. Now, it's a beautiful move, and Gustafson is like, he has no idea what Ovechkin is going to do. I don't remember, Simmer, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember a lot of Alexander Ovechkin 5-hole goals. Well, most of them are one-timers, right? I don't remember that move a lot from Ovechkin, if you know what I mean. And I wonder, because Gary Galley pointed out in the TV broadcast that he switched out his stick right after that. Yeah. I wonder if that stick was, they use the word compromised, was kind of broken. He knew it, and so he knew he couldn't shoot it hard because it would break. Yeah. So that's why he did a little deke move and put it between his legs.
It makes a lot of sense, Cher, because I commented to Hammer, as a young goaltender, first of all, you got so much time. And there are times you're certainly aware of a shooter. When Ovi sets up shot for a one-timer, but if you're Gus the Bus, you got enough time to realize, oh, man, it's Alexander Ovechkin. I'm absolutely preparing for a laser beam, right? And I'm looking for this high glove. What's he going to end up doing? So, no, I think that's a great point. And at the end of the day, whether it's his shin pads, his stick, whatever it is, in the case of Zaitsev, the awareness you need as a veteran defenseman when you put your head down. Alexander Ovechkin does not want to block shots, does not normally break shots. And I'll also say this, Jer, I don't recall in his entire career him getting a breakaway off a block shot. Now, he may have, but that
he's got 737 career
goals. Yeah, well, but my point
hang on, let me go through
it. Yeah, exactly. But my point is, you know, that's a backbreaker right there. Like, you've fought and battled that hard to come back in a game like that, to have a shot blocked by Ovechkin, score on a breakaway. But what you're saying there makes a whole lot of sense. And it ended up being, if that's the case, first of all, an absolute veteran move and just a beautiful, beautiful goal. And I don't know if you also saw pregame, JR. He might have handed away his good stick.
Mm-hmm.
They had showed that in the pregame. And I want to make the point on the stick is that you just see with Alexander Ovechkin, since he's won the Cup, boys, that he's just having the time of his life, right? Like, everything has kind of come back in a line, and he's just loving playing. And I'm still shocked that the engine is revving so high at this age.
Now, the question, I think a fair question to point out, and I tried to roll it back, and I couldn't find the exact, well, I didn't have time, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I looked back, but should Alexander Ovechkin have even been on the ice to score that, what is the de facto game winner? because he absolutely at one point in the second period goes in and smokes Nick Paul from behind into the end boards. There is no easing up. Alexander Ovechkin is a big boy. I don't think maybe everybody's aware. He's, I think, what, 240 pounds, I believe it is, or thereabouts. He's a big, big boy. And when he hits hard.
He's a truck. And
Nick Paul is a big guy. And Nick Paul gets absolutely smoked right from behind, right in the numbers. No call. I think if the situation is reversed, Nick Paul probably gets five in a game, to be quite honest with you. Alexander Ovechkin gets nothing.
Yeah.
And then stays on the ice and eventually scores the first of two goals on the night. Do you think he should have been penalized?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and to your point, Jer, there's no doubt the effect of that. And he's one of those guys, once he gets in the track and decides he's going to make contact, he makes contact. And in this case, yeah, that should have been a penalty. And to your point, if it's a hit on the star, I think it's absolutely 5 minutes.
So Alexander Ovechkin would score again in the third period from his office, right at the end of a power play. Difficult to say who maybe, in terms of the defensive breakdown there, who's at fault, because Formanton comes out of the box. He's the guy in the penalty box. Mm-hmm. He skates right by Ovechkin. But Connor Brown typically would play. There was enough time, I would think, and this is, again, I having spent zero time in an NHL dressing room preparing for a game, no idea how you're supposed to, as the coaches would say, sort yourself out in terms of being on the... There was enough time, and maybe it's a lack of communication where Formanton's coming on saying, okay, because he skates right to the other side of the ice to get involved in the play, and Connor Brown is kind of standing there, and then all of a sudden, and full credit to Sen Superfan, who's watching the game with me, she's watching this entire thing play out and going, Ovechkin is standing by himself. Ovechkin is standing by himself. Ovechkin is standing by himself. Puck is on his stick. Puck's in the net.
Yeah.
She grabs her drink and goes and leaves the room. Yeah. That was it. Upset?
Yeah.
Like a lot of fans were at that whole play.
Yeah, and that is the amazing part, AJ, when you look at the time. And on the one timer on the power play, I get it to some extent. This particular case, to leave the greatest goal scorer in since Gretzky, just incredible. And also, guys, the typical one timer yesterday, that what you showed there for a goaltender, first of all, the velocity, but he is like Austin Matthews, right? They just make that slight adjustment of pulling the puck into their body, and it's just that little bit that all of a sudden Gustafson, not in a bad spot there, but he's able to pick that short side.
Yeah. So Ovechkin's two goals, by the way, now give him 737 for his career. He's got 7 in 6 games so far this year, not slowing down whatsoever. He needs 5 to pass Brett Hull, 30 to pass Jaromir Jagr. Both, I would think, very attainable based on his current pace this year, very much so. And that would leave him behind only Gordie Howe and, of course, Wayne Gretzky on the quest for, 895 to become the all-time leading goal scorer. And crazy. And he just absolutely feasts on the Sens. Ovechkin has 10 goals and 23 points in his last 11 games against the Sens.
Yeah, and you would expect that, Jer. I mean, go back to Gretzky. I mean, where were the points, right? We didn't even follow it as closely. How many 9-3 victories against Vancouver, LA, Winnipeg? You know, hey, that's what you have to do if you're a great player. You go back and see the stats that guys, and if you're a goal scorer, you're going to end up doing that. So that ended up being big, and I'm curious for him. First of all, with Backstrom out, Kuznetsov has been really good. I think he's really kind of dialed in and maybe matured or got a little scared.
He's looking at the iPad on the bench.
And it just looks to me like they finally realized, hey, they were pretty much fed up with him by the end of last year. Is he on his best behavior? And for them, the long season, Ovi going to the Olympics is such a big goal. And I guess it's also fun for him right now, because I think the Caps are, you know, probably going to age out, JR, in a sense of, I don't think they're built for a long playoff run. They're still a very good hockey team. But to have that goal in mind would give you some credible motivation for the next few years. And the next, did he re-sign for 8 years? Was it an 8-year contract or 7?
Ovi?
Yeah. It was big dough. To my point, exactly. That this is a reason to train. You know, not that you're not team, and we all know that he would love nothing more than to win Olympic gold. That would really, really be a big, big deal. That would almost be kind of the 06 Swedish group that finally got that gold medal with Alfie, that had so many great teams. And I don't know, the Russians aren't on that level, but, you know, that would be a pretty, well, for Malkin and Ovechkin, for what have been great careers, would be a nice crown and achievement.
All right, so 2 for Ovechkin, a hat trick for Oshie. He becomes kind of a sidebar in this game last night with his 5th career hat trick, and we can talk about how people celebrated Oshie's hat trick in an interesting way, Caps fans, last night. But let's talk about the guy from the Sens. Not his hat trick goal, which was a bit fortunate, but you got to be lucky to be good and good to be lucky and all that other stuff. But Drake Batherson had himself a night last night, capped by this, his second goal of the night.
Here's Norris in to get it. He's pressed along the boards. Puck comes back out front. Batherson scores! What a drag! What a drop! Oh, my!
It was a beautiful goal by Batherson. I mean, that is for a guy, what, second full season in the National Hockey League? 23 years old, you can see why a lot of people think this guy's going to become a big-time goal scorer in the National Hockey League. To have that amount of confidence, that amount of patience to outweight the goalie, put himself into, you know, he skated from a prime scoring position, but where the goalie was right there, to over to the side where, you know, your target is a lot smaller, but you do have a space to put it in, and absolutely just fires in. That was a beautiful goal by Batherson.
Yeah, it really was, Jared. And he had the one last year against Carey Price, comes in, goes forehand, backhand, top shelf, and that is exactly that. How do you decide to all of a sudden have that patience? And you're going into the next phase here where expectations now are being allocated as almost a $5 million hockey player. You have to produce, and to have the confidence to do that, yeah, those are great signs, because hey, you can shoot the puck all day long, you can do some good things, but it really does take some special confidence that you get to a level where you're able to achieve something like that, and that was just absolutely beautiful.
Here is Drake Batherson after game talking about that goal.
Obviously, the more time you're around, you get more comfortable, and it was just instincts, honestly. I wasn't really thinking, I just kind of did what I did there, and you know, it was lucky to go in there, so no, I'll take it. And just like I said, the longer you're around, the more confidence, you know, I have, I find, so hopefully that keeps going.
I'll take her back to the boys. Yeah, that's what I'll do
there. Who do you, summertime, you got the choice of McKinnon, Marshy, or Sid. Who do you think is showing that type of dangle? See, I'm going Marchand for some reason.
Dirty dangle?
Yeah, dirty dangle pulling across. I mean, Sid's an obvious. I mean, they could all do it. But I would see Marchand doing that to like a 15-year-old goaltender that has him out practicing. Hey,
yeah, Sid's usually parked along the side, right along the goal line, looking for a little one-time, a little putback.
He does a lot of those quick flips in tight. But Marchand would be like yank, and you'd bring in the local, you know, beer league goalie, and he'd be just feeding them and pulling them right across.
Yeah, so I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right on that one. Yeah. So hat trick, first career hat trick for Drake Batherson. His dad was at the game. I'm not sure how many games that Norm has been at, but if you were watching the TV coverage last night, they kind of showed some hats on the ice, and then they kind of pulled away, and then showed a couple of gentlemen running down to the ice with hats to throw them on. Yeah. One of them was his dad. It took him a while. I'm not sure where he was seated, or maybe it took him time to find a hat, but he got a hat out on the ice. So Drake said after the game, got to get my dad a new hat now, because he threw his hat onto the ice. So that was a really neat moment as well.
Well, you're probably deciding whether or not quick move is, do I down the rest of my pint or do I set it down, right? Like, you don't want to be the sloppy dad going down to the glass with your pintage leaking all over.
No, that's true.
But a great moment, you know, and for the family part of it, knowing Norm and knowing the family a little bit, the humble beginnings of playing in all places of Portland, Maine to Fort Wayne, Indiana and Germany, and having a son now in the National Hockey League that's a great kid, a great story, and now a multimillionaire. I'm assuming dad would want more than just a hat.
What do you mean, early retirement?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I'm going at least, you know, mom's going out to Rideau Center or something, right? I mean, you're doing a little shopping.
Absolutely. Right? So it was an interesting night. Sens lose. They've lost three in a row now. There's lots to pick apart, absolutely. But, you know, if you're a fan, you kind of watch the game. And there are points where you're kind of going, if you look into the future a little bit, and the top five players, I'll exclude Tim Stützle for now, but the top line and the top D pair, you look at that, and those guys were all world last night. Like, Shabbat and Zub were fantastic together last night, and that first line of Tkachuk, Norris, and Batherson was unbelievable as well. Here's DJ Smith on that Sens top line.
That line, if you give them chances, much like they're, you know, the other team's top lines, they're real players. I mean, you give them good looks, they score. And, you know, Drake's a real good player, real good patience to score that goal. And he had all kinds of looks all night. That line had a lot of looks.
There you go. I wanted to raise now, this is where JR is going to be nitpicky.
Oh, here we go.
Little nitpicky. This is where
Grant is making an appearance here.
There's things I don't understand, so I just throw it out there, okay? So, Sens are down all night. They come back tie 4-4, okay? Then they go down 6-4. Then Batherson scores the hat-trick goal halfway through the third period at 6-5, right? Hammer, you're in the building. The joint is jumping, relatively speaking, right? People are excited. They're throwing hats on the ice. Everybody, like, the Sens have the momentum.
They're pumped.
All right? Everybody's ready. They got half a period to tie the game again. And they put out a line of Shaw, Sabourin, and Sanford. And then the third pairing, who hadn't played much at all, and when they did, not very well, especially Josh Brown and Victor Mete, who immediately get pinned into their own zone for 45 seconds. All the momentum from that goal, from the crowd being absolutely jacked, is gone. Like, why are you throwing out your five worst players right after you've scored a momentum-changing goal?
That wasn't the only time, too, because Gord got up and turned to me after the Sens had tied it up at four, and immediately the third pairing was out for the opening faceoff. And immediately, again, they got stuck and hemmed it in their own end. That happened. That they get the momentum, they score a big goal, and for whatever reasoning, they go to the third period in the fourth line.
Did the fourth line play in that other? I didn't watch the other situation.
I do not know for sure about the fourth line, but definitely positive about the third period.
Because all due respect, the fact that he's getting a National Hockey League check, good on him. I respect anybody that's. But I don't even know why Scott Sabourin is dressing for these games, quite honestly. And then to have him out in
deterrent.
That situation, deterrent for what? For what? Tom Wilson?
Just in case things get messy.
Okay, that's why you have. That's why you have Josh Brown in the lineup. Okay, understand it, Sam?
Oh, no, I
the
do.
Lineup thing.
No, and this has always been really strange, JR. And again, I've used that analogy back in the day. It's hard where Ottawa's at, but when Detroit played, Nick Lidstrom, they never played their third pairing D together. They would always cycle through with other people. I got to be honest with you. After that first pairing last night, I don't even know what you consider to be your second or third pairing. I mean, Zaitsev was terrifying every time he was on the ice. And for when Josh Brown struggles, what we see with Mete, and we saw this with Zaitsev, because they were actually pretty good against the Rangers. But as soon as Brown struggles, Mete loses all his composure, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get to the fourth line, which I totally understand. But I kind of go through kind of depth and options. And I would say to myself, well, with 10 minutes left, I got to put somebody over the boards versus 5 minutes left, but I understand it's hard. But, you know, this is the tough part for the club right now, is that you're getting back to after that top pairing, which is wonderful to watch. It's got to be so freeing for Shabbat. But then you get into Holden, and then really, if Zaitsev struggles, Brown to Mete, now you look at Delzato. There's no options. That's the tough part.
I understand they have depth issues. Yeah, I'm not here to say that they don't, and you can't play just nine forwards and four defense the entire night. I understand all that that part of it. But how many times have we seen coaches interviewed, and they talk about the importance of the next shift after a goal is scored, whether it's on you, or whether it's for you, that next shift, that next 30 seconds, how big is that? You've scored a goal. If you can grab the puck and put it in the other team's end again, you got all the momentum. If you're at home, the crowd is into it, like all of that. And it's almost like you're giving up. It's like, well, we'll just give up this next minute, and all of it is lost. Yeah. I did not understand that particular move at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, I also understand there's not a ton of options when it comes to players, but it does also still speak to the fact of, I understand that you want to be big, but big has to be able to play. And I don't see in the case of Sabourin, and I think you said, JR, full marks to the fella. Like, he should be down in the minors protecting your players. You should have better options. And in the case of Brown, I don't see him as a physical threat whatsoever. He's a bigger body. He's improved a little bit. But this kind of old school theory that they have any presence or any real effect on the game, I think that's an old school junior hockey mentality, and I think the Sens need to move past that.
All right. Anyway, it was an entertaining game, but for the Sens, it was a loss all the same. That's three straight. Not the way they wanted to finish off the mini homestand, because now they go for three in a row on the road. So it's a day off today. Tomorrow, back at practice, looks like Dylan Gambrell. That could be in town and ready to practice with the team tomorrow, and presumably maybe in the lineup Friday, because that's the next game. Friday in Dallas. Then they play next week, Monday, Tuesday. So no games this weekend for the Sens. They'll play Friday, Monday, Tuesday. The Monday game is in Chicago. The Tuesday game in Minnesota. And then back home to face Vegas a week from Thursday. All right. Thoughts on the game? Thoughts on anything we chat about? Ovechkin, Batherson, and the coaching moves, who looked good, who didn't, all of that, always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. You can tweet at us at TSN1200, and we'll go through all of that throughout the morning and talk to Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey insider, when he joins us in about a half hour or so from now, right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Chuck Roberts. He was our 40th caller when he heard our cue to call, which is Mike Sutherland's Red Blacks. And Chuck is one of the first of 10 pairs of tickets we're giving away all day today during our Red Blacks all-day ticket giveaway here on TSN 1200. Chuck's got a couple of very excited kids who apparently will be going with the two tickets. So congratulations, Chuck. Way to go. Your next chance to win will come up next hour, and we'll do it all day long until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Red Blacks back at TD Place for their next home game coming up on Friday night versus the Calgary Stampeders. And here on TSN 1200, Red Blacks, after a day off yesterday, back on the practice field today. And, of course, much of the talk about what's going on off the field and not on. All right, to the texting machine. Lots of reaction to the Sens game last night, a 7-5 loss to the Capitals. Couple here on the same topic. Can Jacob Bernard-Docker really be a worse option than Josh Brown? That's from Homer Hugh and from Unsigned. Good morning, gents. Where did JBD end up, and why not give him or Lassie Thompson a look? That's from Unsigned. Yeah. I'm assuming, Simmer, that this is all part of the plan as it's been laid out is guys will play full-time in the National Hockey League when they're ready to play, not just because they've got a hole in the back end and you're right. I mean, at this point, maybe JBD would be a better option than some of the guys they're trotting out there. But they want to make sure when he comes to the NHL that he's here for good.
Yeah, I didn't see in training camp, JR, that he was strong enough. And I just think, hey, give it a little time. And it's not easy to do. And let's also face some facts here. You got 7 guys on the roster right now on one-way contracts. You got a guy making $2 million sitting out. You're not going to slide a bunch of one-way contracts out and slide guys in. But also don't feel like they're holding anybody back. It'd be good for Thompson and JBD. Question would be, when you get into any game, do you want to have a little bit more puck movement, a little more offense coming out of there? And does a guy like Branstrom somehow fit in? That's something I think that's worth considering and talking about.
Yeah, and I think that will be the one thing that's a possibility as they go out on the road trip. I mean, you want to have at least one extra forward and one extra D on the road, but would a guy like Branstrom, based on what we saw last night and the difficulties beyond the first pair, is it time that they maybe give him a look? Don't know that he's necessarily been lights out since he's gone down to Belleville, but he had a pretty good training camp by all accounts. Yeah. As you mentioned, pretty good end of the year last year. And whether it's that he's a long-term solution here in Ottawa or a guy that maybe at some point they're going to move along from, at this point, can't be much worse than some of the guys they're putting out there right now.
No, and again, I thought he deserved to be here, JR, but the question would be, first of all, I'm not going to take him on the road and put him in the press box on one-way money. Are you willing to put him in? And if you're going to take Josh Brown out, like I said, do you want to have Brown and Delzato sitting out at a combined $3.2 million? If it was a normal circumstance and you honestly wanted to give somebody a night to watch, Zaitsev's early struggles, but as I said, realistically, we know that DJ likes him, and at 4.5, it's probably not going to happen as well. And you get past that first pairing, it's just the unfortunate. If you could find something out there to stabilize things with Holden, then I think that's what you'd like to try to do. But gosh, Jared, so, and credit for them for dumping old daddy dump and bringing in Holden, because he's been outstanding. But it's so hard to find that type of player, especially right now.
John in the Byward Market writes, "Hi guys, don't look now, but the Habs, Leafs, and Sens occupy the last 3 spots in the Eastern Conference standings. What does that say about the quality of last year's Canadian division?" That comes from John.
You know what, John? I don't know what it says other than you're right. And down the stretch there, I didn't put a lot into Ottawa. But Ottawa, hey, I can explain Ottawa's situation. I didn't have crazy expectations. Well, you also have to ask yourself, okay, what's changed with Montreal? Well, Montreal was the 18th best team last year. Montreal's lost a number of very good players. I'm not sold on it, but hey, you take Deneau, Weber, and Price, JR. That's like taking, Norris, Chabot, and I guess Murray out of your lineup if you're Ottawa. That's not easy. And as far as Toronto, hey, this has continued on an annual basis with blaming the salary cap. The Leafs somehow in the last 4 years with accomplishing nothing, JR, have gotten progressively worse. Like, you can't look at that team and tell me that they're not worse than they were a year ago.
But their possession numbers are great.
Are they? Okay.
They're decent. I saw, and listen, we're both big fans of Mike Kelly.
Yeah.
Does some really great analytics work, and he actually tweeted out before the Leaf game last night, another loss last night, about how just in terms of shots from the slot and kind of advanced analytics stuff, that the Leafs were like second or third in the league so far this year. And the point being that, you know, that analytics is all about that things should answer to the numbers over time.
Should
that in short that sample
way,
sizes, that you may see weird things, but eventually things will answer to what the numbers say they are.
Yeah.
And his point being that the Leafs are getting, offensively at least, all kinds of chances. They're just not scoring any goals, but eventually the goals will go in. Didn't happen again last night. Yeah. They only scored one goal.
No, and I would agree with that. I mean, when you watch him here against Ottawa, you recognize they are a very good team. And as you enter Matthews back in, combination, if he is with Marner, is outstanding. Nylander with Tavares. And, hey, mix in everybody else around it. What is really hard for Mike to measure is really within the room itself and kind of the dynamic. And obviously a pressure point that starts to come with it as well. But I would assume if you're looking at the top three in the division, I mean, I'm still going to go Tampa Bay, Florida, and Toronto. That now from there, I don't know Boston well enough. I got to watch more Montreal, but I still think Toronto will be in the top three. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's not satisfying for a lot of people to watch them struggle out of the gate. This from Jamie in Ottawa. Wow, times have changed at the old radio station. Had a bra been thrown on the ice after a hat trick 10 or 15 years ago? You guys would have spent the entire morning or an entire segment on it. That's from Jamie in Ottawa. It was peculiar, and it was not, well, I'm presuming it wasn't from a Sens fan, because it was thrown on the ice after TJ Oshie got his hat trick. And it was a really, if you're watching the game on TV, and Hammer, you're at the game, was it readily apparent? Now, you're way up top. They do a quick flash of the ice, because they're talking about the hats being thrown on the ice, and something is laying on the ice, and I think to myself, JR, that looks like a brassiere.
Yeah.
That's on the ice right now.
Good use of brassiere.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, well, perhaps, and I'm thinking it's probably thrown by a woman. I'm not here to judge.
No.
But that she's come unarmed with a hat. And so what's the next thing I've got to throw on the ice is my bra.
Well, do you click that bad boy off and put it on, or do you already have it in your pocket?
Listen, I have seen, and I'll say this through personal experience.
To gear down and pull your panties down, or underwear, because everyone, you can wear whatever you
delicates.
Want nowadays.
Delicates.
You're delicates. But you would agree, if we were doing a power ranking, TJ Oshie is a beautiful man, right?
Yeah, good looking guy.
Top five in the National Hockey League?
To each his own. I don't know that.
No,
I'd
he is.
Right
he,
up
well,
there,
I'm going to say it right there.
So you're saying if it was Alexander Ovechkin that got the hat trick, she may not have thrown the bra?
No brassiere?
I don't
He's
know.
Not quite as much of a looker?
Yeah, I don't. That's a good question, actually. But I would say that two of the two most handsome men in last night's game had hat tricks.
That's a good point. That's a fair point.
Would you agree that Drake Batherson is the best looking Sens player?
I got to give that one some thought.
Well, I already got that confirmed at home. That's why I'm going with it.
All right. Well, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
It will come as no surprise that it was AJ who spotted the brassiere on the ice. Dean Gordon, myself, we're
That's
too
what
busy.
Spotters are there for.
Exactly.
Now, AJ is down in our Club Bell location,
true,
so he's closer to the ice.
He is.
All right. I'm surprised that Gord wasn't on this, to be honest with you.
What?
I don't know. Like, Gord is a fan.
No, he's too busy breaking down the goal and what went wrong to cause it.
I'm taking this a step further with AJ. He quickly identified who the culprit was.
How'd you like to come and watch the post-game show?
That's the veteran move right there.
All right, 7:58. If you'd like to play our TSN $1,200 minute, text us right now. Standard messaging rates apply at 12-1200. We'll take the 50th texter. All we need is your first and last name, and we'll give away, hopefully, $1,000 coming up next on TSN 1200.
TSN 1200's $1,000 Minute.
We got our contestant ready to go this morning. It's Jason. How are you doing this morning, Jason?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, guys.
Excellent. Good. You ready to play and hopefully win $1,000?
I am hoping to win $1,000 and hoping to take something home.
Okay. Something. Okay. That doesn't sound very confident, Jason. I want a confident Jason right now.
All right. Well, give me some easy questions and we'll see after...
Okay, 1, 2, 3, I would say the first four questions are all relatively easy. Okay. Right. That'll get you warmed up for the other ones, okay?
Okay.
Here's the way the contest works, Jason. 10 questions, 60 seconds. You go 10 for 10. You win the 1,000. We'll give you $10 per correct answers. Here are the rules. All of your answers, I need them by the time the 60-second buzzer goes. I need to accept your first full answer. And if you want to, you can pass on a question. If there's time, we'll go back to it, okay?
All right.
All right, you all set, bud?
Yes, I am.
Good luck. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1. Go. Who did the Caps beat to win their only Stanley Cup? Colorado
Vegas.
Or Vegas? So,
Vegas.
True or false? The New Orleans Saints have never won the Super Bowl.
False.
Which of the two World Series teams switched from the National League to the American League?
Houston.
Name any player other than Wayne Gretzky ahead of Ovi in all-time goals.
Pass.
Name any team other than the Leafs that Wendell Clark played for.
Quebec.
What round did the Sens choose Drake Batherson in the draft, the fourth or the fifth?
Fourth.
When the Raptors traded DeMar DeRozan to the Spurs, who did they get back?
Kawhi Leonard.
Who of the following didn't win a golf major in 2021? Koepka, Phil, or John Rahm?
Koepka.
Who leads the Sens in goals this season?
Batherson.
What former Blue Jay manager managed Atlanta to its only World
Series? Jimmy Williams.
Name any player other than Gretzky ahead of Ovi in all-time goals.
Okay. All right. We've got our 10 answers. Okay. Here we go. Are you set?
I think I did pretty good, but I don't think I'm walking away with 1,000.
Okay. Let's find out. Who'd the Caps beat? You blurted out Vegas. You're right. The team the Caps beat in the final. The Saints have won one Super Bowl. They beat the Bears. So you got that right. Which of the two World Series teams switched from the Nat to the American League? Houston is right. You got there eventually. Who's ahead of Ovi in goals all time? Brett Hull is one of them. Yager and Gordie Howe were the other two. Name any team that Wendell Clark played for other than Toronto. Quebec is right. Islanders, Detroit, Chicago, Tampa were also correct. What round did the Sens choose Drake Batherson in? Fourth is correct. Who did the Raptors get back from for DeMar DeRozan? Kawhi is right. Who did not win a golf major in 2021? Brooks Koepka is correct. Who leads the Sens in goals so far this season? What was your answer?
Batherson,
correct. Chris Tierney as well, both at 4 goals. That leaves it up to our 10th and final question.
And what, I don't even remember the question.
What former Blue Jay manager managed Atlanta to its only World Series title in 1995? Your answer was Jimmy 1M Williams. The answer is Bobby Cox.
Oh.
The answer is Bobby Cox in 1995. The only one! I think that you missed, but I quickly want to just look that up again. I looked that up last night, but when you said Jimmy Williams, can you?
It's Bobby Cox.
It's Bobby Cox?
It's Bobby Cox.
100%?
100%
okay.
It's Bobby Cox.
Wasn't Jimmy Williams his assistant manager?
Yeah, he was, right? No, he came.
Does that technically count?
No.
You should at least get 950.
Well, I'm going to have to look that up. Man, that was so close, Jason. That was really well done, man. And Jimmy Williams is a great answer. It's actually less obvious than Bobby Cox.
It's almost like you had the questions beforehand.
Almost.
Actually, it was the Brooks Koepka one that I thought I messed up on.
No. Nope.
So that was a wild
nope.
guess.
Well, good on you for that one. Listen, well done. That was really, really good. You missed by one, unfortunately. But enjoy the 90, all right?
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, 8:06, we'll take a break. That was close. We'll get the latest news. Run down a busy scoreboard for you for a Monday night, including the Saints winning the Monday Nighter. And then we're going to come back and break down all the hockey stuff, including the Sens loss to the Capitals with TSN's Mike Johnson. Coming up next, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.